Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi third quarter 2017 consolidated results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, CEO of De'Longhi. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group 9 months 2017 results conference call. As usual, we will begin with an overview of the results before leaving room for a Q&A session. If we look at the first 9 months and more closely to the third quarter, the words that are picturing the trend better than others are accelerated growth and strengthened investments. At the start of 2017, we identified the volume growth as our primary goal and the related operating leverage as a primary resource to run our business. And indeed, the most encouraging factor of the past months is the return to sustained growth. 2016, going back for a moment to last year, was a strong and successful year in terms of profitability, with a record EBITDA and a record net profit, but it did not deliver organic growth, as price management was the focal point to offset the exchange rate impact. As a consequence, we realized that an increased commitment in new product developments, in a better, more focused communication strategy, and a more structured presence on fast-growing markets, USA, China, and Russia, were required to make a stronger growth happen quickly and be sustainable in the long term. In the first months, the first 9 months of 2017, 11 million in excess of the previous year were spent in A&P in order to support the expansion plans across the markets, with a special focus on the North American and Far East regions. The Brown and Blenders benefited from strong growth in China and US. The fully auto coffee makers outperformed in all markets. Nespresso systems played in the same direction, thanks to the launch of Latissima One and the new distribution agreements in the USA and Switzerland. Kitchen machines of Kenwood gave positive signs of recovery in the last quarter. And of course, growth in Europe, which still represents a central asset of our strategy. Therefore, the picture of the first 9 months is getting aligned with our ambitions. Good volume growth accelerating at 10.7% in the third quarter, from 387 to 428.8 million. EBITDA that organically, on an adjusted basis, after adjusting for change of perimeter and non-recurring and financial components, improved in value to 159.2 million. And finally, net income of 89.5 million and 33.4 million in the quarter, that once adjusted to exclude the non-recurring and financial components, still stands at some 78 million in the 9 months and 27 million in the quarter. In line of these elements, we reasonably believe that all the pillars of our strategy are there, making us confident about the feasibility of our guidance. Let us now review the results in greater detail. As said, revenues have delivered an acceleration in the third quarter, posting a double-digit growth of 10.7%, which translates into a plus 8.4% on a like-for-like basis. This performance brings the overall growth of revenues in the first 9 months to 8.4%, reaching euro 1,256 million, and setting the like-for-like growth year to date at +5%. All regions contributed to this trend. Asia, Pacific, and Americas region was growing at 14% or 10.9% like-for-like, with impressive 19.7% like-for-like in the third quarter. USA, Canada, and China were leading, and blenders of ground, Nespresso systems, and the overall category of coffee makers were the fuel for such a trend. It doesn't look unreasonable to expect the USA to become the second-largest market for the group right next year. Growth was indeed well-founded in our traditional markets as well, with Europe progressing at a sound 7%, 3.4% like-for-like in the 9 months, and 9.1% in the quarter, or 4.8% like-for-like. Russia, Poland, the Scandinavian countries, and more in general, all other Eastern European countries were growing at above the average. Such that they can still be considered as market of expansion. The Middle East, India, and Africa region, though not fully normalized, was showing sign of a clear improvement, with a like-for-like growth of 6.7% in the third quarter. Even if we cannot consider this result as a proxy for the future, nevertheless, it represents an important turning point. As regards the product segments, we have to highlight the outstanding performance of coffee makers, growing at a double-digit rate across all categories. Besides fully auto, the traditional machines, we were very pleased to witness the return to growth of Nespresso systems, helped by the new distribution agreements in the U.S., Switzerland market, and the launch of the new Lattissima One. Within food preparation category, on one hand, brown products were growing thanks to expansion into new markets, like the U.S. and the Far East, while on the other, Kenwood's kitchen machines were back to growth in the third quarter. Products of the comfort category, in example, the portable heaters and air conditioners, were growing in the 9 months, but not in the quarter, as a result of an unfavorable season for air conditioning. Finally, positive signs were coming from the ironing business of Braun, with a slight growth in the 9 months, supported by the acceleration at the high single-digit rate of the third quarter. Moving on to profitability, the company is strongly focused on increasing its effort and investment in new product development and in marketing and communication as a precondition for a stable growth in the medium term. If on one side, as already discussed, volumes are already positively responding to these efforts, reassuring the group on its ability to generate a sound operating leverage. On the other side, margins are still impacted by the increased weight of investments. In addition, in view of the positive effect of exchange rates and hedging, we are adjusting our pricing strategy as an additional tool to boost our market share, particularly in Russia and China. Therefore, looking at EBITDA, a positive contribution of volumes, exchange rates, and mix was partially offset by negative price effect and higher A&P costs, higher by some 11 million in the 9 months. As a result, EBITDA before non-recurring items was slightly increasing in value to 159 million, but declining by circa one percentage point to 12.7% of revenues. In addition to the increased commitment on A&P in the recent years, the group underwent a massive plan of capital expenditures in order to increase the efficiency of its manufacturing platform and reduce its time to market. As a consequence, increased amortization costs by 6 million were posted in the first 9 months, translating into a declining EBIT down to 111.7 million, -5% in the 9 months. The P&L was also characterized by some non-recurring items, including, among others, a financial gain due to the full write-down of the earn-out liability related to the acquisition of the perpetual license of Brown, a financial cost related to the reimbursement of the USPP and the related derivatives, imputed costs of the stock option plan, tax benefits resulting from the reduction of the Italian tax rate and the patent box benefit, non-recurring depreciation of buildings. As a result of the net income pertaining to the group was amounted to 89.5 million in the 9 months and 33.4 million in the quarter, a record figure when compared to the third quarters of the past year. And yet, the net income, if adjusted to retain recurring items only, would have been equal to about 78 million in 9 months and 27 million in the quarter. Next, I would like to move to some key balance sheet items. Net financial position at September 30 was positive by 75.6 million, with the position versus banks and other lenders being positive by 89.9 million. The change year to date is negative by about 232 million. This gap is explained, amongst others, by dynamics of the working capital increased by 99 million in the 9 months, reflecting the typical financial cycle of the quarter, as well as the acceleration of the growth and the launch of the new products in many markets. The higher capital expenditure, 71 million, up by 38.6 million versus last year. Dividends paid of 119 million, almost doubling the amount paid in 2016. The financial impact of Eversys acquisition, about 19 million, and the consolidation of NPA for approximately 10.4 million. In summary, the signals coming from the geographies and the product category are reassuring about the targets to be delivered by year end. An increase of organic revenues at mid-single digit rate, along with an increase of EBITDA in absolute value, and not necessarily as a percentage of revenues, in a context of neutrality of foreign exchange rates. Our strategy is firmly based on sound trends, a better coffee experience, a healthy and social approach to food preparation, a better living at home, continuous investments and diversification of products and markets, while retaining a strong focus on our know-how, are proving to be the right way to growth and profitability. This concludes my introduction, and now we can open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call Conference Operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question comes from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about the industrial margin that in the third quarter decreased by 30 bps. At the same perimeter, I would like to better understand the underlying reasons and what do you expect for the fourth quarter. My second question is about top line growth was on a like-for-like basis very strong in the third quarter, also supported by easy comparison. I would like to better understand what is your feeling for the last part of the year. Then I would like to better understand the tax rate. What is your expectation for a normalized tax rate for the full year, excluding patent box? And what is the tax rate including patent box, just to understand the potential impact that you expect for this point. And finally, on the food preparation, I would like to better understand the growth trend in the third quarter, year-on-year growth trend, and like-for-like basis, your expectation for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, so the first
The first question is about the margin. I would like to underline that on a like-for-like basis, there is, as you said, a gap of about 0.30 basis points. This is mainly attributable to some, let's say, price effect. And this was mainly driven by some pressure in the UK, which is a difficult market due to some economic conditions, and also to our price readjustments in Russia, where the ruble has revalued, and we have realigned our pricing in line with the say new pricing also from most of the competitors. On top of that, some cost, some price adjustments were made in certain strategic markets in order to boost the sales. More specifically, I would like to underline the actions in China, which are now helping the group to grow double digit. And on top of that, also maybe some negative mix when we talk about Nespresso versus Kenwood, which is softer, or other products with a higher higher margin. In terms of, I would like to underline though that now the gap is closing, and if you take a look at the margin in the nine months, the gap is 1.1%, and now it's getting closer to is 0.3. So I hope that continuing, let's say, our investments, we will be able to progress and improve and close further the gap in the next quarters. Second point, second question is about the top line growth in third quarter. We're happy with the third quarter, and obviously we are very confident about the fourth quarter. And October was in line with our third quarter, with a say almost we would say in line with our performance in the third quarter. So we're confirming the top line growth also in October. About the tax rate, our new normalized tax rate will be for the year around 21%. Without, it would be about 24%. But the patent box and the new tax rate will be also in the medium term. So we expect to continue in the next 3 years, including 2017, 18, and 19. The fourth question about food preparation. In food preparation, we can now record that for the first time, we had about 1% growth, 1.5% growth in kitchen machines. So for the first time, also, we go back to growth in this product line, which has been weak in the first 9 months. Also, hand blender are positive. Food processor were fairly stable. While due to the weakness of the UK market, in particular in some other markets, we were slightly down in water kettles and other product lines. However, now we see now the decline of total cooking and food preparation now getting close to zero, and hopefully we'll be able to reverse this trend
from the next quarters.
To understand the fact that basically the patent box, if I understood correctly, the gap is 3% in terms of tax rate. I understood correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question comes from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, just one quick question on the patent box and the positive effect that you expect on 2018 and 19. If you can please help us just to quantify this positive effect on the tax rate, please.
No, what we can give you is a guidance of what is a target tax rate for the next 3 years, including 2017, and we expect the tax rate to be around 21%.
Okay, just to remain at the 2017 expected level for the next 2 years, right?
Yes, obviously we cannot guess what can happen after 2019.
Okay, thank you. Very clear.
The next question comes from Anna Patris from Berenberg. Please go ahead. Patris, your line is open.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon. Congratulations on improving results. A couple of questions from my side. The 8% organic growth in Q3, if we adjusted for the small acquisition, what would it be in Q3 and also in 9 months? Then the second question on the gross margin, the 30 basis points decline. Actually, you should have a negative product mix coming, given strong growth in espresso machines, given still not high growth in kitchen machines. So does it mean that you...
Sorry, Anne, to interrupt, but we heard
yes.
That voices on the back. So if you
Okay. The first question was on the organic growth without acquisition in Q3 and 9 months. The second question was on the gross margin development. I expected actually higher pressure on the gross margin because of the expected negative mix with still low growth in the high margin kitchen machines, but also growth driven by the Nespresso machines, which should have lower gross margin. So this 30 basis point decline in gross margin in Q3 is quite a good result. Is there also some cost optimization, or if you can maybe provide a bridge of how much was negative product mix, how much was, like, you know, what were behind the gross margin development? And then on the working capital, on the increase in inventories, that basically reflects your confidence in the strong Q4, and how much is it driven by this expected higher growth, and what you also said, shorter lead time. So my understanding is that you wanted also to be more flexible and has built up inventories to be shorter with the delivery. So how could you provide a split if possible? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Anna. So yes, the growth rate without the small acquisition that you are referring to, which is NPE, would be... The adjusted without NPA, the growth in the quarter would be at 8.4%. 8.4% in the quarter, and would be on the 9 months at 6.2%. The second question about the gross margin, I agree. In fact, I underline that we're closing the gap in terms of gross margin, the difference between gross margin in the first 9 months 2016 and the first 9 months 2017. It was higher before, and now it's 0.3. And this is due to, I think, our the good margins in fully auto, good margins overall in coffee machines. Indeed, we have a negative mix on Nespresso, but we are helped also a little bit by Latissima One. I think we can count on some savings because of the efficiencies in our new plant in Romania, which is also helping. And that, thanks to all this, we can also detect the still weakness in the food preparation and the negative contribution to mix because of a lower kitchen machine sold in the first 9 months, even if in the third quarter, for the first time, we are back to growth in kitchen machines. So we will also, we hope we will continue to improve our margins thanks to the coffee machines and to close totally the gap in the near future. In terms of working capital, indeed, we are growing, so we have more, credits, and also we are building inventories because we expect to deliver stronger growth also in the fourth quarter. And for the moment, also October has been said in line with our third quarter performance.
The next question comes from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have a couple of follow-ups. The first one is about the net working capital, because actually you increased the net working capital on sales by 4% in the first 9 months. You explained the reasons, just to understand what kind of range do you expect for the full year? It's difficult to give an answer, but just to understand your feeling in terms of net working capital on sale for the full year. And finally, my last question is about M&A, just to give us an update of what you are looking for, what are the area where you are more focusing in this moment, what are the environment in terms of M&A and so on. Thank you.
Okay, so working capital, has increased, and the increase is partially due also to NPE, the new perimeter. Excluding NPA, there's been a worsening of our working capital, which has increased from 262 to 340. This is due partially to our growth, the strong growth in quarter three, with more credits, which went up from 190 receivables, which went up from 195 to 261 millions. Inventories are up because of the expected growth in the quarter four from 433 to 466. So this is explaining mainly the gap together with the change of perimeter in because of NPE. We also have less factoring and securitization in the 9 months for approximately 8 million euros, also which is worsening our working capital as of September 17.
we are confident that we will improve if we will be able to meet our sales target. We will improve the working capital in the next 3 months, and for sure next year there will be some room to improve our working capital, which I want to say to remind that has been constantly reduced to achieve the minimal level in 2016. So we have a very tough comparison with the last year. In terms of M&A, I have no comments. For sure, the company has a sound financial position, and we are actively seeking for opportunities, but we have nothing to disclose and nothing to announce at the moment.
Okay. Many thanks for your answers.
The next question is a follow-up from Anna Patris with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Just to understand a little bit the impact on the perimeter, I think it was already last year when the gross margin was slightly down, if I'm not mistaken, because of the perimeter impact, or was it only from Q1 this year? So basically, what should we expect from the gross margin in Q4? Should we expect it slightly flattish, or should we see this improving? That's one question. And then the second question is also on the operating leverage, given that you're gearing up to quite a nice growth in Q4, and that's the most important quarter for you. Would you expect the EBITDA margin improvement in Q4 this year?
Okay. The fourth quarter is traditionally our strongest quarter in terms of gross margin. So we expect the gross margin in quarter four to expand from quarter three. This is also what happened last year. And we hope that thanks to the mix and the actions, we will be able to get very, very close to the gross margin that we have delivered in quarter four 2016. Second question about the operational leverage. Indeed, last quarter, quarter four is the most important quarter in terms of sales. And I expect that despite the increased investments, because we have more investment in terms of A&P planned for the quarter, but despite the investment, we should deliver stronger improvement. So you will see a more effective operational leverage. Obviously, we don't think that we will have, let's say, the traditional DeLonghi operational leverage, because we have decided in 2017 to have an extraordinary year in order to accelerate quickly to growth. We have a bigger gap, and this year probably we will have a slightly lower operational leverage in quarter four because of this acceleration plan and the investment that are necessary to sustain growth in the quarter four. But again, as you said, you will see improvements in our margins. We expect to deliver better margins in quarter four.
But in terms of the impact from the acquisition, was it only from Q1 this year, or it was already in Q4 last year?
The impact of acquisition. But last year we acquired MPE in September, and in MP was already accounted in quarter four, maybe for 2 months, for the three months, yes.
Okay, so basically then we could have actually a bit of the gross margin expansion, probably, because we already don't have this impact.
Probably not, hopefully not a dilution, maybe an expansion.
Okay. Okay, understood. And just to be sure, this 8.4% organic growth in Q3, that's without this acquisition, so it's pure organic growth. Because in Q1, Q2, you were disclosing organic growth, but you were including this acquisition. So just to make sure that this time 8.4 is without this acquisition.
Sorry, the line was this. Can you repeat it?
Yes, in Q1 and Q2, when you were speaking about organic growth, you included in organic growth this acquisition.
Yes,
so just
yes.
And when you speak about Q3 8.4, that's excluding this acquisition.
Yeah.
So you decided to change a little bit the reporting.
No. The reporting has not been changed.
No, what I mean is that if in the first half you were talking about organic growth including acquisition, in Q3 you're talking about organic growth excluding this acquisition.
Excluding NPA. NPA.
Yeah.
Excluding NPA. Okay. Excluding NPA, the growth. The growth in the quarter, excluding the acquisition, would be 8.4%.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, please. Could you clarify the cost evolution going forward? As you mentioned during the third quarter, some inflationary pressure on input cost, industrial labor, and transportation costs. So just to understand, is there something that should we expect also in 2018 on this side? And the second question regards the FX hedging policy, notably with reference to the US dollar, and if you can give us an update on the company hedging policy for next year, and if you think that the benefits of the stronger euro might be visible on your results, or you expect to basically pass on those savings to the final consumers. Thank you.
Yes, we have inflation in the raw materials. We estimate inflation to be around 1% in 2017, and we are basically offsetting this price increase, this raw material cost throughout efficiencies in our factories. With regard to the hedging policy, for next year, we have already started hedging, mainly the US dollar, but also other currency. And so far, we have already hedged about 50% of our budget regarding the dollar, which is, the most critical currency in our currency portfolio.
Okay, and can you remind us the average of the FX hedging for 2017, please? Hello?
Sorry, we are keeping the figures.
Yeah, okay.
We hedged about 50% of the... Yeah, the 2017, we are accounting, thanks to the hedging, about 1.13 average.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2018, we have already hedged 50% at about 1.17.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Only 50%.
Only 50%, yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
The next question comes from Christoph Gröhlich with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Could you maybe let us know what was the impact of FX on sales in Q3?
Okay. Okay, in the 6 months?
Totale?
Is approximately 14 million euros
in 9 months.
In the 9 months, and about zero in quarter three.
All right, thank you.
On revenues, I'm referring to revenues.
Yes, that's clear. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, sorry. Just on the effect on the third quarter, just to reconcile the 10.7% growth in the third quarter. So you said the 8.7% is the like-for-like growth, including the acquisition. Then what is explaining the gap between the 8.7% and the 10.7% reported figure, if the effects are basically nil?
No, sorry. So 10.7% is the reported figure. You account for about 2 points because of the NPE perimeter, which would bring down to 8.4. Considering that in the quarter the exchange rate has been close to zero,
8.4
is also the growth rate at constant exchange rates, which maybe this is misleading or creating confusion.
Okay, now
it's clear. If we look at the 9 months, there is a different impact.
Yes, clear, yeah.
Mr. DeLonghi, there are no more questions registered at this time. Would you like to add any final comments to conclude the conference?
No, I thank you all attendees for taking part to the DeLonghi conference call. Thank you.